Call this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krashas and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. It's 4:19, Thursday, December 13th. The opening comment that I have is we had our employee service recognition luncheon today and the always hugely important trivia contest, and Team Christman prevailed.
So that's for the first time ever.
It's one in a row. So the streak is on. Commissioner Krashas, do you have any opening comments?
I was told that the outgoing chairman is supposed to be allowed to win. No comments.
I don't have any comments.
Okay. We have three items on the agenda. And none are my portfolio, and nothing on the consent calendar. So I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Krashas.
All right, thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Dakota Natural Gas, LLC, Natural Gas Service, Drayton, North Dakota, tariff and rates, case number PU-18-345.
Second.
This started on September 12th. Dakota Natural Gas filed an application to serve the community of Drayton, surrounding area, and then a large commercial customer, which is American Crystal Sugar, up in to the north, just to the north of Drayton. Dakota Natural Gas is a new natural gas utility in the state, and it will construct facilities to serve the Drayton area, as well as American Crystal Sugar. And that construction will start sometime in the spring of 2020 and be completed by the mid to late part of that year, again in 2020. We went back and forth and talked quite a bit about what the base rates should be. They're looking at some point having approximately 200 residential customers in the city of Drayton. It'll take some time, and of course it's up to the residents to decide what they want to do in terms of service. But they were proposing an $8.50 monthly facility fee. We had discussion on that, and we arrived at a $16 per month facility fee, which is, generally speaking, I would say consistent with Xcel and MDU, for example. Xcel is at $18.48. MDU is at $20.86 per month. So if we had gone toward a straight fixed rate, straight fixed variable rate design, which is what we've set precedence, you could say, in terms of using, their fee would have been $46.83. So then that was moved down. This is really I should also point out that their rate of return is going to be 10%, which I think is, again, consistent and fair. So this is exciting in terms of the opportunity it gives the community of Drayton. It is, again, up to the individual customers. Whether or not they do or they do not want to sign up for the service, they'll have to do their own comparisons. Many of them right now are on propane. So based on the price of propane versus natural gas, there would be, a fairly nice amount in terms of savings. But again, that's something each of them will have to take a look at on a personal basis. But I think it's good. American Crystal Sugar will be moving away from utilizing Powder River coal and moving, of course, then to natural gas instead. So it's just another community now in the state that will be receiving natural gas service as more infrastructure and companies are willing to expand service to them.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in...
I just want to reemphasize, I think this is the first new regulated utility starting up in North Dakota in many decades. I don't know of anyone who really remembers when it last happened. So kind of a monumental thing, and hopefully this project will be successful, and at least in some of these communities that have a large anchor tenant, like is the case in this particular case, that some more of these less populated communities are able to get natural gas. So it would be an interesting project for us to monitor here.
I would echo some of those same comments. This is the second small North Dakota community within the last 2 years that has somehow found a way to get natural gas to serve their community, led by a large industrial tenant. And it's really exciting to see that, and it will be even more exciting to see how these gas services grow from this base. How long will it take to attract new customers? How long will it take to grow enough to be able to expand to some of the neighboring communities? We've been told time and again that natural gas is a key to economic development in any area, and the rural communities that don't have it are pretty much left out. So here's two new rural communities that are no longer left out, and I think it's a great success story for North Dakota. I'm very pleased that this company brought their model from Minnesota that's been working well in small communities there and is now going to test it here in Drayton, and they feel very confident of their plan. They have a lot of experience in doing this, and so I think it was very appropriate that the commission modified some of our standard ways of looking at this and provided a small exception from that to better align with the company's business plan. So this is a great new, completed new project for this area. I'm excited that they can move forward now and finalize their agreement with American Crystal Sugar and get to the business of bringing gas to this small town.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Mr. Chairman, would you object, or would there be any objection to me doing JF2 before JF1?
Without objection, we will make that switch.
Okay. I think it just, in my mind, anyway, it's a little more logical. All right. So I move the commission adopt the order in Meadowlark Wind 1, LLC, New Frontier Wind Energy Project, McHenry County Siting Application, case number PU-11-69.
Second.
In November, Meadowlark Wind LLC filed a request for a setback determination and requested the commission amend its May 10th of 2017 order of continuing suitability. This project has a fairly long history in our state, but the order of continuing suitability provided, among other things, that Meadowlark site turbines at least 1,400 feet from currently occupied residences, and that Meadowlark comply with the siting criteria set forth in the version of Section 6901 of the North Dakota Administrative Code in effect May 10th of 2017. Turbines T26 and T32 were constructed within 1 1/10 times the height of the turbine from an interstate or state roadway right-of-way. And T26 was constructed 10.7 feet into the setback. And turbine 32, was constructed approximately 103 feet into that roadway setback. Turbine 6 was constructed within 1 1/10 times the height of a turbine from a 115 kilovolt Ohio transmission line, and turbines T24 and T8 were constructed within 1,400 feet of two occupied residences. T24 was constructed approximately 5 feet into that setback, and T8 was constructed approximately 35 feet into the setback. In its request to amend, Meadowlark requested that two provisions of the order of continuing suitability be amended. The first is that the voluntary setback commitment in order paragraph 4.B be amended to allow turbines T6 and T26 to remain in the location constructed. And those are the turbines that are, one of them was within the setback of the transmission line, and one of them was within the setback of the state roadway. And that the voluntary setback commitment in order paragraph 4.C be amended to allow homeowners to waive the 1,400-foot setback from occupied residences. So we had an informal hearing with the company, Metalark presented testimony and exhibits to support its request to amend the order of continuing suitability, including evidence that granting the motion will avoid environmental and landowner impacts. And Metalark also presented evidence that the current locations of the turbines would not adversely impact public safety. They provided waivers demonstrating landowner agreement to the placement of turbines T8 and 24 within the 1,400-foot setback from currently occupied residences, and also submitted letters from landowners supporting the current placements of those turbines and expressing concerns of additional impacts if they were to have to move them. Meadowlark also confirmed that it is in the process of moving turbine T32, which is the one that was 103 feet into the setback of the one of the roadways. During the informal hearing, staff acknowledged that a 1,400-foot setback from inhabited residence is a guideline and that there have been other wind turbines sited within the 1,400-foot guidelines. So based upon the facts presented, Meadowlark's proposed amendments to the order of continuing suitability will continue to produce minimal adverse effects on the environment upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. Meadowlark's proposed amendments will continue to be compatible with environmental preservation and efficient use of resources, and the amendments will continue to minimize adverse human environmental impact while ensuring continued system reliability, integrity, and ensuring that the energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. The order basically states that Meadowlark will construct no more than 49 turbines and no more than 102 megawatts within the designated site, that they may locate T26 530 feet from the state highway right-of-way 41, measured from the center of the base of the turbine upon execution of a written agreement with the North Dakota Department of Transportation, and that T6 may be located 526 feet from the Great River Energy Transmission Line, measured from the center of the base of the turbine tower upon execution of a written agreement with Great River Energy. Copies of these agreements must be provided to the commission. Meadowlark shall site the turbines 1,400 feet from occupied residences unless they obtain a waiver from each owner of each occupied residence. And they shall also site the turbines to meet the shadow flicker goal of 30 hours per day or less at each currently occupied residence. And they shall use commercially reasonable efforts to install all aircraft lighting detection and lighting system or other suitable lighting technology on the project by December 31st of 2019 or upon commencement of operation, and whichever is later. So throughout this process, which hasn't been that long, we've tried to work quickly on this, it became clear to me that this approach of amending their certificate, their original certificate, is compatible with public safety and with maintaining minimal impact to the environment, because the alternative, which is requiring them to move the turbines, would have created more environmental impact. And the turbines and where they're being constructed, although they are technically within the zone that was not that there was to be set back from, they are not in so close as to if the turbines were to topple straight over, which isn't that likely to begin with. But if they were, they would still not fall either on the transmission line or into the roadway. So that assured me that the public safety risk is pretty minimal in approving this waiver. And while it's not in the order, some of the additional background for this project, it was cited, they got their original certificate prior to these setbacks being part of the commission's rules. Then after that, in 2012, 2013, the rules were changed, and then when they came in for an order on continuing site suitability, they agreed to adopt the new rules. And it wasn't until after they were 80% done with construction and they had a different company out there doing some measurements that they discovered that they were too close in these five instances. And they did immediately halt operations and contacted us and have been attempting to work out a solution, you know, with our interactions since then. And so I think that this, you know, this is a reasonable path forward on under the conditions. And the following, my following order will address a penalty for the violations that have occurred under this first bit of business.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I don't.
Oh, you don't. When I looked at this, I broke the five turbines into two groups. Two of them are too close to residences. One was too close to GRE's transmission line. And so you had two parties, the two impacted parties were able to get together and come to an agreement, or they have the opportunity to come to an agreement. T32, one of the two that is in the road right-of-way within the setback area, that is being moved. Then the other one, which is 10.7 feet too close, is really the one I found challenging when I was looking at this, because that's a public roadway, and does the public have the same voice as the private landowners and a company in the other instance? So that is the one that I went back and forth on and the most, and found to be a bit more challenging, because the public's representation then, of course, truly becomes the Public Service Commission.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission adopt the consent order in Meadowlark Wind 1, LLC, New Frontier Wind Energy Project, McHenry County, citing application case number PU-11-69.
Second.
So I've given all of the history, so I'm not going to go through all of that. I'm just going to jump to the part that is different, and that is that after we had our informal hearing with the company and walked through all of the events that led up to this occurrence and these towers being constructed within, or turbines being constructed within, some setback areas, at the conclusion of the informal hearing, the commission directed staff to consult with Meadowlark regarding a potential agreement on a penalty. And staff and Meadowlark discussed the penalty and associated resolution of the penalty of the pending setback issues. And so we've talked about what the resolution is in terms of how they can modify, how we just agreed to modify their original site certificate and the ordering provisions. And so the penalty part of this is the following. The commission has determined that a consent order is in the public interest, and Meadowlark and the commission agree to resolve this matter as follows. Meadowlark agrees to pay to the commission the following penalties associated with the violations identified in these occurrences: $20,000 for each, $20,000 each for turbines T6 and T26, $10,000 for turbine T32, and $5,000 each for turbines T8 and T24. Meadowlark agrees to continue to move turbine T38 and reclaim the turbine site to the standards set forth in rules, statutes, and the commission's order. So that the two $20,000 fines are for the turbines that are being located too close or within the right-of-way, that the setbacks on the right-of-way for the transmission line and the roadway. The $10,000 fine is for turbine 32 that is also too close to the road, but they are removing that turbine and have agreed under this consent agreement to reclaim that area to the standards set forth in our rules, statutes, and the commission's orders. And the $5,000 each are for the turbines that were located within the 1,400 feet of the residences, which those residences have signed a waiver and provided evidence to us that they would prefer the turbines to remain where they are. So Meadowlark, Meadowlark shall pay a fine of $60,000 within 20 business days of service of this order, and Meadowlark shall move T32 and fully reclaim the impacted location.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, I will say on this one, I think it's good that the penalty that's being agreed to here is less for the one that's being removed, since it is in fact being removed and won't for many, many years to come be there, you know, closer than it ought to be to that road right of way, in that case significantly closer. I think it is appropriate that the two penalties be less regarding the residential turbines, because of the fact that in the last legislative session the legislature actually clarified that those residents can waive that provision and allow them closer to their residents, which in this case the residents have. And so nowadays that wouldn't be a penalty at all. And so I think we have appropriate numbers here. I suppose there'll be some people who think that these fines aren't near enough. And to that, I would just say that we need to be reasonable, too. And all these things end up coming back in utility bills and that sort of thing in the long run, I imagine. And to those who think that it's too little, I guess here is my main point of emphasis. Or to those who think it's too much, what I really want to emphasize is something has to happen here, too. It can't just be dismissed. The companies, we approve an order and give a siting certificate, and I get that accidents happen in all these industries. Something goes a little wrong, an employee out there makes a mistake, something isn't perfect, and you can't always come down too strenuously on them, because mistakes will happen. But in some of these industries, once they make the decision to start, it's like their hair's on fire, and they go so fast. And in this case, fully 10% of these turbines are in violation. And so there has to be some kind of a message sent here, too, that you have to go slow enough with these projects to make sure you're doing it right. And I can't help but think, with a little bit of sentimentality of just about 2 years ago now, when I was honored to become chairman of this commission, and Commissioner Fedorchek dug up the old gavel that I made when I was a freshman in high school with Mr. Zahara as our shop teacher. And the thing that he always emphasized to us in wood shop is measure twice and cut once. And I think there's still a good lesson in Mr. Zahara's education that he provided to us. And these companies need to think about that and slow down enough to do the job correctly as their certificates approve the projects.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I don't have any calendar items to announce. So with that,
I would just say it took 2 years for me to realize that you handmade that gavel. I did not know.
Not
this
that
isn't
one.
The one. I have that
well,
one
that's not
the
gavel.
But I have used it over here. But
this.
That one was probably made in China, I'm guessing.
I'm just looking over at staff. I don't think there's anything else for the special meeting. Okay. We will adjourn, but then we will hang around and take questions from the press. So at this time, this meeting is adjourned.
All right. Is this the only time that a wind farm developer has been fined?
It's the first since I've been here, but I can't speak to the entire history, Jerry.
I believe it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there is a precedent in a way that you've got a line in the sand now, in a way. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it doesn't necessarily just apply to wind development. Mm-hmm. This would apply to everybody who receives a siting certificate has to abide by the terms of that certificate. And we have inspectors that follow up on pipelines, and there's, you know, been back and forth in on those cases as well to ensure that they're complying with the conditions. And I think from the commission's standpoint, I appreciate the fact that we have these orders. We think that they're appropriate. They're the right way to protect the public's interest. And then we also, recognize that in reality, everything doesn't always go the way you have planned. So you have to find a path forward that also protects the public interest. That's where the penalty comes in this case, and also allows for reasonable development and fixing problems after they occur. And so that's what we are always charged to do.
It is industry's responsibility to understand, know, and follow the law when they're operating in our state. It's that clear and it's that simple. And I think this definitely reinforces that message.
Just for reference, this was McHenry County, you said?
Yes.
Correct.
Approximately where is this wind farm?
Oh, man.
Kind of up there by Velva.
Velva, okay. And on the natural gas, when you mentioned they're dropping Powder River coal, what were they using Powder River coal for?
For their boilers.
Boiler?
Kiln. Isn't it their kiln?
Kiln.
Yeah. For their.
I am not knowledgeable in the world of sugar making with beets. They were using it to make sugar.
To bake their beets.
I'm just curious. Did they give you an idea of how much this is going to cost to get everything in, the infrastructure done? How much?
3.6 million.
Yeah.
That is just from the North Dakota side, though, right? I never understood that to be all the way to the Viking line, but maybe it is.
Oh, the cost, you're talking the cost to run the...
Yeah.
The service and not retrofitting.
I'd have to go back and double check.
Okay.
Well,
it is, I have the number right here. Well, Victor, you provided it.
That's the number in the...
Yeah,
that's
it's 3.6 to 3.7 million.
And just curious, how long a run is it from Viking to Drayton?
Yeah, we'll have to look that up because 3.6...
7 to 10 miles.
7 to 10 miles, okay. And what was the other community that you referenced about getting the gas?
Gwinner,
that's right. And that project is done now, right? Or
it
at least
is?
to
yep.
Gwinner.
They're operational. They're looking
Bobcat
for
is.
Yeah, the line to Bobcat, yep.
Yeah. That's what I got.
Anything else? Okay, good.
Thanks.
You bet.